The winningest team in baseball also has the most saves, and people who save the most money are winners. So start earning saves by investing in Worthy Bonds for only $10 each. These bonds earn a fixed 7% APY, and there's no fees, penalties, or minimum balance required, and they can be redeemed whenever you like. You can even round up everyday purchases to buy additional bonds. Go to worthybonds.com/save. That's worthybonds.com/save, and save and win.
In the South, it's always college football season, and the king of college football reigns supreme all year long. Southern Sports Today proudly presents The Chuck Oliver Show. It's an inside look at everything college football. Now live from Atlanta, Georgia, it's time to talk college football with the reigning king of college football, Chuck Oliver, on Southern Sports Today.
Let's start the show by taking swings at an old person. Chuck Oliver Show on a Tuesday. And that's not what I'm... Well, that is what I'm doing, but not because he's old. Just because when you have the mantle, when you've got the belt, the oldest head coach in college football, well, you know who I'm talking about. It's Mack Brown. So when I say we're going to open the show taking swings at an old person, it's the oldest person on the sidelines, at least wearing the big headset. And I have talked very frankly, just because of the numbers involved, about Mack Brown and his second go-round at North Carolina. Now, if you have a quarterback, you can do a couple of things. You can distract everybody from the overall quality of the program because, by golly, we got a quarterback. And a quarterback means fun and exciting and yards and points and all kinds of things, and that's been North Carolina for the past 5 years. It's been yards and points and fun, and that's it. I also detailed last week, we had Dave Bartu on, and I said that Mack is 38 and 27 in 5 years. And if you look at the 38, it's Mercer, it's Charlotte. You scheduled about seven of those, eight of those. So basically, Mack's been 500 with an NFL quarterback every single snap for 5 years. He's been 500 in the ACC. He's been 500. If you look across state, something was supposed to happen when Mack showed up for his second go-round in Chapel Hill, which now has him at age 72, which here is the truth. Remember a month ago when Nick Saban said all these things about what turning 72 meant, how hard it was to do the job properly anymore? Yeah, all that applies to Mack Brown as well. So let's understand that. Like, there's no sort of magic anything in Chapel Hill where you can just go forever and out-coach. You can do a better, more efficient job at 72 than Nick Saban, who finally went palms up and father time you in. Uncle. So that's just the setting, okay? That's just what it is. There's only one way you're the oldest head coach in college football. You're really, really old, especially for that job. It is an unbelievably time-consuming, detail-oriented, concentration, focus, this, that, and the third. Folks, and I'm 56. I was on TV during football season. I'm not kidding. I was holding a Vanderbilt helmet in my hand. I couldn't remember where the kid went to school. So, like, it happens to all of us. That was me on TV, like, holding the helmet, and I looked down. I was like, so for the Commodores, man, I had talked a verbal figure eight until I was like, wait a minute, you're holding a kid's helmet. It happens. So if you're 55, I guess, at that point, and you've got somebody, a production assistant behind the camera going, Vanderbilt, Nashville, and you eventually get it. What if you're 72 and it's the third quarter of a game against Ohio State? What about then? What about if on the authority of no less than Nick Saban, he was like, man, it's hard. Mack had possibly, if you look at these past two seasons, We'll know in another month, but Mack had, I believe, the second overall pick at quarterback this past season. If you look at this past season, how it went, second overall pick at QB, Cross State and Raleigh. Dave Doran's starter got benched. The next starter quit after four games. He had to go back to the original starter, and the team still won nine games. Mack Brown's final game with Drake May. May threw two picks, lost a fumble, and the Heels lost by three touchdowns. NC State, against the backdrop of everything I said, they finished the season on a five-game winning streak. And the Wolfpack did all this with their leading rushers being the benched quarterback who didn't play for 4 weeks and a wide receiver. Folks, Dave Doran, go look at his staff. For many of the entrants there, many of the names you see, it will be somewhat familiar. It will be, oh, I've heard him before. It will be, I know that name somewhere. It's not a whole lot of household names on that defense. I'm going to tell you, do you know who the most well-known coach on the NC State coaching staff was last year? Joker Phillips is on offense. He's a receivers coach, duh. He was there to recruit and coach receivers. Joker Phillips is probably the most high-profile name on that staff. Kurt Roper, if you're a little bit more of a deep dive, he was at UF, he was at Duke, and so, oh yeah, Kurt Roper, he's been an OC before, hadn't he? Yeah, he's quarterback's coach here. Robert Anais, the OC, and he was brought in to lay hands on the offense along with his own quarterback. Robert Anais, fun fact for me, played at BYU on the national championship team. Night that lined up and beat Michigan, he was the starting center. Talk about the advantage and, well, how can BYU ever be national champions? Well, in the exact right year for other teams to have one or two losses and BYU to string together 13 straight dubs, they also got to play in the Holiday Bowl because they were an independent. They were in the WAC, the Western Athletic Conference. They went to the Holiday Bowl. And in the Holiday Bowl, they could match you up against whoever they wanted. That was the open spot, not an independent. They were BYU. The open spot, we'll take anybody you want. Well, Michigan was 6-5 that year. Michigan is a giant brand with fans everywhere. The Holiday Bowl is like, wait a minute, we got a team in BYU from the WAC who may win the national championship, and we get a brand like Michigan, and it's for the title? That night, Robert and I started at center. He was 26 years old, people. Going against like a 19 or 20-year-old like kid, over like big advantage, and so BYU wins. And college football decided, can't have that happen ever again. And they started the process of changing the structure of it, of how you won a national championship. So that's Robert and I. But that also was 40 years ago. Robert and I now is an OC. And he's a really good one, too. Tony Gibson, I can't tell you. If Tony Gibson was in the police lineup, I couldn't tell you. Is he black or white? Is he tall? Is he short? He might be 61. He might be 35. I don't know anything about Tony Gibson, and there's a pretty good chance. Raise your hand right now if you're a big, big college football fan. Okay, keep your hand raised if you can tell me about Tony Gibson. Because that's who Dave Doran said, yep, I'm going to West Virginia and I'm taking their best coach. So I don't know anything about Tony Gibson. But he was on a staff last year that, against the backdrop of everything I said, when you bring in a handpicked quarterback to go with the OC and it goes so bad, he gets benched. You give a younger kid a chance, he's kind of good for four games, and says, yeah, I'm about me, so I'm quitting. I'm in a portal so I can maximize, save a year, and put myself up for auction. Holy smokes! When I said your leading rusher was the quarterback who didn't play for a month and a wide receiver, by the way, that wide receiver, he's a star. Kevin Concepcion, he's a three-star kid out of Charlotte. There's like the 10th-rated kid in the class, and he's unbelievable. Against that, they win 9 games. Folks, Mike Norvell was the ACC Coach of the Year last season, 13-0 in conference champs. They did what they could do. Mike Norvell had Jordan Travis and a Pro Bowl team, which he gets credit as a coach for getting. So I'm not just saying, well, he had better players. Yeah, he got them. But he also had some things that are baked into being Florida State head coach. No matter what happens, you could play football in Raleigh for 100 million seasons, and it will never catch up to Florida State. Last year, I think Dave Dorn did a better job than anybody in the conference, including Mike Norvell. Again, he had Travis. He had big, giant receivers that he brought in, pass rushers, defensive back, 4 offensive linemen. He went on a shopping spree. And there were plenty of other coaches who brought in, by advertisement, premier talent who did not go 13-0 and win their conference. Mike Norvell did all of that. But I think last season, I think that was actually Norvell winning ACC coach of 2020-23. Last season was more of a cumulative comment on what he's done than specifically last season. The best job last season, even with Brohm in Louisville, the best job last season in the conference was in Raleigh. You got to give that man his due. And that whole thing about when Mac showed up, because Dave Doran, he realized, he was like, hey, wait a minute, recruiting is really good in the state of North Carolina. They got on it, man. And Mac showed up, and he was going to be the Pied Piper. Do you know what the tougher news for North Carolina fans is? That part happened. He did show up. He started getting 5-star kids who weren't even seniors. He was like, I'll reclassify and I'll go Chapel Hill. Mac's like, yeah, you will. 8-5. My goodness. So Dave Doran, tip of the cap, man. Dysfunction all around. And that guy was spinning gold. Came within a bowl win, and they tried. They tried in that bowl. Do you know why? Would have been the first 10-win season in program history. Now, they had an 11-win season with Chuck Amato. But they were within a bowl fourth quarter where both teams were. I'll give a, if you didn't watch that bowl game, it was good. They could have gotten to 10 wins, first time ever. And so that would have been not nothing. I'm just really impressed, and it's tough and it's boring sometimes on Saturdays to watch them play. In fact, there's been actually a couple of weather games in Raleigh where I was like, this is awful. But then there's been a couple of bright, sunshiny, 68 and calm. And I'm like, oh, yeah, they play that same kind of way today. Just big tip of the cap to Dave Doran. He's figured it out, man. Cracked the code. All right. We're going to take a break. Come back. Jump into it next.
To Southern Sports Today and the Chuck Oliver Show.
Spring has to be challenging. It has to be demanding. It has to create opportunities, and I think we did that with day one. The areas of improvement for us are all over, right? Technique and fundamentals always come with spring football. We certainly devote a lot more time to individual drills, group drills, 2-on-2, 5-on-4s, and 7-on-7s.
Mario! Cristobal, do I have to say that? If it's clearly a head coach and he's talking about head coach stuff, I can't just say Mario. You can say Kirby. You can say Dabo. Mario Cristobal, Miami head coach, he hasn't performed well enough to be one name. Like, Madonna? Okay, she can still be Madonna. 1986, there was a girl. I say girl, I think she was like 20. Regina, she had a hit called Baby Love. If she's somewhere now, like on the 80s cruise, you have to introduce her like her whole name. She's not good enough to be one name. Regina Lavoie from Baby Love. Madonna's still Madonna. Mario's not Mario. He's worse after 2 seasons than Manny Diaz was. And Manny got whacked specifically so they could go get Mario. You got to produce, man, and you have had no excuses. You've had a roster turnover. You've had a coaching staff turnover. You're bringing them back now, but so I guess good. But you've had losses, a direct uninterrupted line to you. And that is just not acceptable. So that just, he's got a lot of, you can talk about everything we're doing and the stuff we're going to, yeah, get Cam Ward on board. All right. Block and, when I say block, protect your quarterback so there's no more injuries. And then tackle better on defense. Like, those are basic things. And you did one of those things in college yourself. So keep your quarterback healthy. It's supposed to be priority one. Every level of football, if you are passing the ball, then nothing else matters. Because if you lose your quarterback, your season's cooked in almost every case. And then defensively, they're just bad. So, all right. When I say bad, I mean at tackling, which is the most basic thing. If you don't tackle well, it doesn't matter if you're in the right spot. It doesn't matter if you read your keys. You didn't tackle him. Heath, what's up?
We have an extension, Chuck. Coach has gotten a contract extension.
Yeah.
Now, call me crazy, but as we have seen over and over and over, if there is not evidence that someone is coming for your coach, you don't necessarily have to give him an extension or give him more money. Now, there is something to be said for the idea of giving a guy a vote of confidence. That does have some value, and maybe that's what's going on here. But West Virginia coach Neil Brown is getting a contract extension. They were expected to finish last in the Big 12 last year. I would have bet my salary on it. Yeah, he was basically at the head of anybody's list of coaches on the hot seat going into last season. Congratulations to him. 9-4, that's a nice year. Chuck, who's coming for Neil Brown?
Nobody. There's no market.
There's absolutely nothing. Like, you could argue if Kentucky was opening, he has connections there. But Kentucky's not opening anytime soon.
He's thankful to have that job at whatever the previous terms was. He's just thankful to still have it.
Correct. And so, you know, 5 years in, he got him to 9-4. West Virginia's not an easy job, not a lot of talent in state, but they have done enough in the past that the expectations are high. And so I get it. It's not an easy job. I'm not saying you should be running to shove Neil Brown out the door. I just have no idea why you need to give Neil Brown more money, more years, more anything. At this point in college football, especially the idea of, well, you got to have 5 years for recruiting. Who are we kidding? After recruiting's going to be out of the transfer portal. As long as you're there for the next year, they don't really care if you're there in 3 years. I just don't understand why schools are still doing this. Like, we all need to adapt to things. As fans, we're having to adapt to kind of what we expect of teams. Coaches need to adapt to how they recruit, and schools need to adapt to how you handle your coach. And just because he had a good year does not mean you have to give him more money.
Yeah, I've asked a couple of coaching or contract or business experts about that thing. It used to be, well, you know, a recruit wants to know, I'm going to be here for 5 years. Really? When was the last time an 18-year-old or a 17-year-old high school senior was thinking, you know, I want to know in my fifth year in that program that you're still going to be there? A fifth year for a kid? That's pure fiction, and it became so years ago. Then there are the other extremes, which, so that the whole deal about recruiting to show stability, that's silly. In a technical sense, it like really doesn't even apply anymore. The other extreme, and this is the one where at least there's an out. Ed Orgeron, there was confetti falling on the Clemson LSU national championship game, and I said they're about to give him an extension. And there was no market for Ed Orgeron. In that one, Heath, I at least do understand the idea that, well, the dude was the national championship head coach. So Auburn, we're going to give Gene Chizik. And, you know, so you do that, I guess, as reward. But there are so many times when you're given a guy that, even like I said, Chizik, well, there was really no market for Ed Orgeron after that.
No, there was never a market. Even if he could have won three more titles, he wasn't going anywhere else. It's just, it's one of the things that you look at a place like Clemson with Dabo. I understand the man won titles, so he gets a certain status. But if you're Clemson, like, you never need to give that man a raise again. He's not going anywhere. No one's coming for Dabo. And I look at these schools that do this, Chuck. They're going to have to adapt, because sooner or later, we're going to be talking about these kids being not just student athletes, quote unquote, they're going to be employees. We don't know how we're going to get there, exactly how much it's going to be for, when it's going to happen. Is a union going to be involved? But it's clear the only way they're going to get out of this mess that they are in, where anytime they try to put any kind of rule in place, the courts immediately say, yep, can't do that because you haven't collectively bargained it and they're not employees. So we're not going to let you treat students who happen to play football different than students who are music majors. Nope, not happening. So sooner or later, that's where it's going to go. If you need to be paying money to students who are playing sports, you just can't be doing like a Tennessee, I remember, did this. Gave Philip Fulmer $500,000 raise and then fired him halfway through the next season. You just can't be saying, here, have some money. We've got more coming. Like, and they got to adjust here.
In the reality of today, the wild season-to-season swings in on-field quality because of off-season portal additions and subtractions, you are way more susceptible to having a car crash season out of nowhere, a four-win season, and we so overreact as fan bases and administrations now that the portal is actually leading to a lot more coaches getting fired. Well, the buyouts are still in place. So when it's not just, oh, we're having to hire a new coach, is, wait a minute, we're having to fund another buyout? And it's starting to pile up. And so the buyouts have been an issue in college football for, my goodness, a couple of decades now. But it is gaining velocity now, Heath, based on portal swings and coaches being fired.
Well, is that, and also, Chuck, I mean, look, if you're a certain kind of school, you have to think about this part of it. Oregon State, in a way, got lucky because Jonathan Smith left to go to Michigan State, so they didn't have to deal with the fact they signed him to a deal when they had Pac-12 revenue and they're not going to have it. You know, if you're West Virginia, if the big crack-up comes here in the next year or two, I don't know that it's a lock you're on the right side of the line. If you've signed your coach to a big money that you're getting Big 12 money and playoff money and all that, and suddenly you're on the wrong side of a line, you got another problem.
Yeah, and you're literally signing your players to one-year contracts, and so there's no need to sign your coach to a 5, 6, or 7-year contract. That's right, 7-year contract. Some guys get 10-year contracts. So there is no need when literally now it's not even an understanding that nobody talks about. Hi, we have you for 1 year. We're bringing you in on a name, image, likeness contract.
Catch the king of college football no matter where you go with a new Southern Sport.
The winningest team in baseball also has the most saves, and people who save the most money are winners. So start earning saves by investing in Worthy bonds for only $10 each. These bonds earn a fixed 7% APY, and there's no fees, penalties, or minimum balance required, and they can be redeemed whenever you like. You can even round up everyday purchases to buy additional bonds. Go to worthybonds.com/save. That's worthybonds.com/save, and save and win.
Spring is here and baseball is back.
You can't forget the Derby. I love the hats. Do you have yours yet?
My hat? I treated myself to a whole outfit.
If you want to be able to treat yourself, then you should check out the Nest Savings Account at LGE Community Credit Union, where they want you to reach your savings goals faster.
Take it from a pair of 680 The Fan wives. Head to lgeccu.org to find out what makes their team number one in Georgia.
Today app. Catch the best college football conversation in the South everywhere with the SST live stream and daily podcast. Download it now at the App Store and the Google Play Store. Now more of the best college football talk in the country. It's the Chuck Oliver Show.
Who's the Chuck Oliver Show? Which means hour one, we're going to be talking coaching, personnel, really, but coaching, a lot of it. And when it comes to coaching, I will say, people say opportunities can get you jobs. That's true. Opportunities can get you, relationships can get you jobs. And that's true. They can. More so, it's an opportunity. You can blow it. You can not be a very good coach. But the relationship will get you an open door, a chance maybe. Tony Gibson played, and I was just talking NC State and how they did it last year against all that dysfunction last year. And I said, I don't know anything about Tony Gibson other than he's a DC, and boy, he's putting together a resume. He played for Rich Rodriguez back in the day at West Virginia, excuse me, at Glenville State, and he got his first shot at the big time when Rich Rod was at West Virginia, and he went along with him to Michigan. Even when Rich Rod got Cam, people were like, Tony Gibson kind of did a good job there. So on you went to the point where now he's a DC in the Atlantic Coast Conference, and he's a big part of why they won. I don't know anything about him, though. I just know he played for Rich Rodriguez back in the day, and that sure that got him an opportunity. Want to welcome on right now, man. Boy, I bet he knows something about Tony Gibson and the rest of this staff. It's worth knowing about the kind of success they have against the backdrop of the level of talent, quote, by recruiting stars. Want to welcome on from CFB Matrix, it's Dave Bartu. Dave, how are you today?
Brother Chuck, I am doing great. You want to know how good Dave Dorn is? Just pull up the last 3 years of final top 25 rankings, and you'll see top 10 recruiter, top 10 recruiter, top 10 recruiter, top 10 recruiter, Dave Dorn. I mean, he is 9-3 or better each of the last 3 years. He's in the mix with all the big names, all of them. And I didn't even realize it myself. I was looking at this a couple months ago when we were doing head coach and search for ADs. And my data partner is like, man, we got to get these guys looking at Dorn a little harder, you know, because his grade is really good. And so I started looking at the actual performance on the field, the wins and the losses outside the numbers. And, I think this guy is pretty underappreciated, pretty under the radar. I mean, he did a great job at, Northern Illinois as well.
Yeah.
You know, so a little bit surprised he hasn't got a little bit more traction, but the way he plays football isn't quite as sexy as what people want, right?
Oh, no.
It's defense first.
No, it's not very fun.
No, it's defense first.
And so I started the show talking about a staff, and it's the kind of thing you can do when it's a college football show and it's March. And I said, there are some names that stand out. People probably know, if you're a little deep dive, you probably know Kurt Roper. I think everybody knows Joker Phillips. I said, Tony Gibson and Robert and I a little further off the radar, but just talk anybody you want on that coaching staff that you think you may not know the name or a whole lot about him, but boy, he does a good job. Ruffin McNeil is one of the special assistants there. Nicest man you'll ever meet. I don't know how much of a good coach he is, but Ruffin McNeil is one of the special assistants there. I'm a big fan of his.
No, so actually we were a big fan of his when he was at East Carolina. East Carolina has been suffering ever since they unceremoniously let him go. But back to the drawing board, though, on the staff at North Carolina, the highest graded guy on that staff, you'd never heard of him. I mean, nobody's really ever heard of him. And he was our number one target for Kalen DeBoer when he lost his DB coach, I believe, to Georgia. And he ended up getting the guy out of Wisconsin, who is fantastic as well. But the NC State DB coach, that's your guy. He is one of the – he might
Brian
be the
Mitchell?
Highest rated – let me see here.
Or Joe DeForest.
Oh, man.
Because they split it.
Yeah, I got actually. This is one of those where my mind is actually failing me on his exact name. There's so many names, especially after doing all this NFL search stuff. Because once college got done, NFL came in and took 41 guys out of college, and we dealt with a little bit of that. So, I'm trying to look the name up, but anyways, let's see here. I don't remember. The other guy, though, that I do remember that is also really under the radar is their special teams coordinator, Todd Goble. He is really, really good as well. In fact, they have three guys, Gibson, Goble, and the coach I can't figure out
Mystery
the name
coach.
Of for the life of me right now. But they have a really, really good – they have one of the best staffs in college football. They have one of the best staffs in the ACC. And it is why a team that recruits in the mid-30s to mid-40s has finished in the top 25 each of the last 3 years.
Just a really good job. Always impressed when you punch up, especially given the current status of college football. Well, flip it across then, and I know we talked a little bit about this last week, but – just a little more deep dive then on what hasn't happened in Chapel Hill, because Mack Brown, it's been 5 years, and you figured out the one thing you can never figure out, which is quarterback. And he has had big name assistant after big name assistant come in there. And it just hasn't worked, especially on the defensive side.
He can't hire. I mean, we're on year five, and I mean, he just can't staff.
Can I ask you?
Right?
Okay.
I mean, this is, and you want to talk about I'm amazed this is so far under the radar for a top 25 recruiter, right? This is the number four recruiter in the entire conference. Okay. And look at you and I would agree, NFL, college football, still quarterback driven league, right?
Yep.
And North Carolina, can you name another program that has had two NFL quarterbacks the last 4 years? Two veteran NFL quarterbacks. You had Howell, and then you turned around and you had Drake May, and you underperformed all of it. And there isn't a single year that he's outperformed the talent. He had Howell, yeah.
When you said that he can't hire, I immediately started thinking about something, and I don't know this because this is just top of mind, but it started to remind me as you were talking. If you remember Joe Gibbs, the great Super Bowl champion mm-hmm. coach with the Washington Redskins, he retires after the 92 season.
Yeah.
12 years later, he comes out of the NASCAR world, says, I'm going to be a head coach again. And not only was it just not the same, there were some instances where he got a penalty because he didn't know the rules because they had changed. But what I heard was the reason the success didn't come the second go around was he had been out of it 12 years, and he said he still wanted to hire on relationships. And the relationships yep. weren't as valid after sitting out. Do you think there could be anything there, Mac hiring on relationships, but he was out for a while?
Absolutely. Well, Mac really hasn't been out for a while, has he?
Well, he was in media for a few seasons.
Okay. But it wasn't 12
years. 6 years.
Right, okay. Was it 6 years? Wow.
Yeah.
You know, the amazing thing about college and what I've learned very recently in the NFL, it would stagger you how much it's relationship-based, especially in the NFL. It's worse in the NFL than in college football. It's all relationship-based, you know? And you start looking at some of these guys that are getting pulled out of college football into the NFL, half of them in our grading system are below average. But the reason they're getting pulled is they knew somebody. You know, great example, Boston College offensive coordinator last year, quarterback coach the last 3 years, bottom half grade as a coach in college football. But he worked with the Dallas Cowboy quarterback coach in Seattle in 2019. So they brought him in as a quarterback coach because of the relationship. So I think the relationship thing is very, very strong in both leagues. And it's something obviously that I work against. It's a tide I work against constantly. Yeah. But that's just the way it works, because a lot of these guys don't have the time to parse through 100 guys to figure out who's good and who isn't.
You know, they say that that's part of it, because Mac and Chizik were boys from way back in the day, you know, Texas. Mm-hmm. And that's part of why he pulled Chizik out of retirement, who had also been on TV for 6 years. And I have, like, this is public. Like, Gene's talked about, he says, when he came back, his first season in 2022, you talk about something, I'm like, dude, I don't know if I'd say that in public. He said, the game had changed so much, it took me a season to get caught up. I'm like, well, they paid you to coach that season, not have a ramp up. And then in 23, it wasn't any better. And he's like, yeah, Chizik out. So he had two seasons where he said one of them, he was like, I just didn't realize how much stuff had changed. I was like, stop talking. But it's a real thing. And I'll give him, he gets a point for honesty. So that could be, there's something in there about how quickly stuff is changing in college football. And it's not just culture. It is also X's and O's and everything else.
Well, exactly. But it's also just the speed of the game.
Yeah.
It is a very, very fast game. And if you're out of it for 4, 5, 6 years, if you're a play caller, even if the game didn't change that much, it's getting your mind to readapt to the speed of the way it goes, you know? And so, again, you and I have talked about this on the show. One of the things I just can't stand is the not the best available, it's the best buddy hire. right? And best buddy hires, that's what gets you fired. And that's what gets new head coaches fired so much, because they hire their friends because it's easy, it's simple, it gets it going, it makes them comfortable. But that's what gets most of them fired, is not hiring correctly right out of the gate.
And you think, well, he's loyal, so he wouldn't leave. No, part of the reason he may not leave is because there may not be quite the same market for him elsewhere, unless you're the one hiring your buddy. That's a thing as well. All right, we'll take a quick break. Come back, jump into it next.
It's always college football time in the South. Now back to more of the king of college football, Chuck Oliver, on Southern Sports Today.
There's a chance we give Mike Elko even more credit for being a great coach based on an ACC team playing poor defense this year. This is how it works, folks. Georgia Tech was, I think, they might have been the worst team on defense last year. As far as like yards allowed or so, might have been the worst team. There was a metric where they're the worst team in Division I. So you don't just go to like number 18 in America regardless. You could have Tom Landry back from the grave coaching your defense. Not going to happen. Tyler Santucci got the DC job because of the performance of the Duke defense. He was the coordinator. But we already know there's questions about, well, how much of that was him and how much was Elko. And when Georgia Tech's defense predictably struggles this year, the credit meter from the Blue Devils' defensive performances the past two seasons, Elko, we love him even more. So we already love him. I mean, Texas A&M loves him. They paid $71 million to another guy to leave so that we hired Mike Elko. So I want to welcome on right now College Football Matrix. It's Dave Bartu. Dave, tell everybody what CFP Matrix is and how to get in touch with you.
We tell stories with numbers. We build staffs. We try to provide edges to college football and the NFL. And there's two edges, efficiency and risk acquisition. That's it. All right, that's what it comes down to. And you know how much and how important coaching is. Not as important as recruiting in college football, but it's the number two thing. And that is what we focus on 24/7 here.
And when I say how to get in touch with you, it's literally if you're a head coach or an AD, or you've had people from the border regions, you've had fans, whoever. If somebody wants to contact Dave about what Dave do, tell them how to do that.
Oh, well, you can just text line, right? Your fans, your listeners use it more than anybody. 971-217-8419. And if anybody's listening and I didn't get back to you, I apologize, but I think I hit everybody so far this week.
All right, Tyler Santucci, tell me what you think you know about him, because, I mean, if you're the DC for Mike Elko, it's kind of a hard shadow to emerge from. I get it. It was like Kirby with Nick Saban, but eventually we were like, no, Kirby knows what's what. Tell me what you think you know about Tyler Santucci.
Yeah, but see, with Kirby, we knew he was calling the plays. You know, with Tyler, do we really know exactly what we're getting? And it's a pretty limited sample size, right? Yep. We just got a couple of years of this. So we really don't know what we are looking at. Now, what he's trying to replace is the 93rd scoring efficiency defense of college football last year.
Horrid.
Right? And that drop, that was a drop. That was an 11.84% drop in efficiency over 2022. So whoever the DC was at Georgia Tech, ouch, that really, really hurt. So there's really nowhere to go but up for the new Georgia Tech DC. So I think it's a great situation. Now, if he was calling plays at Duke, even with Mike Elko in his ear, if he was in charge of that, this is a great opportunity. You know, it's certainly an upgrade from what Georgia Tech had before. And it's a great opportunity for a young DC to really, I mean, he's going to get a chance to stretch his wings now, because there ain't no breaks on this one. This is going to be everything. So I'm curious. I don't want to get too far over my skis on it, because I don't know how much he was involved at Duke. But clearly, Duke being under-talented and putting those kind of defensive numbers out there is an excellent risk acquisition for Georgia Tech. The offense turned around last year, 39th in scoring efficiency offense. So the big trick here for Brent Pry is, can the offense stay there and get the defense caught back up?
Absolutely, absolutely, which made Buster Faulkner such a hot commodity in the offseason. All right, let's go down the street, and this is one of the few instances where it's ever proper to talk Georgia State Panthers. It's not just, hey, the head coach is now filling out his staff of assistants. It's the head coach is Del McGee, that's a name, and the assistants include, like, names that Georgia State, we don't know anything about their program, really. We know Jim Chaney. I think we know Kevin Shearer. Damian Craig, we better know. You know Damian Craig if you've paid attention to Southern football. Tell me about just any real nugget, or is it just somebody, I'm still a name, and so I can get hired at Georgia State?
Well, thanks for letting me trash on the Georgia Tech DC last year, who is now what? The Georgia State DC? So let's just say I'm not too thrilled about Georgia State DC. How's that? We'll just start there. I don't have high hopes in that regard.
That'd be Kevin Shearer, folks.
Right. Certainly, Del McGee with his connectivity. I mean, Georgia is, you just can't replace that kind of guy. I mean, that level of recruiting, that level of performance, top five running back coach in college football since 2010. So I love the veteran leadership in that state that he's going to bring to Georgia State right off the bat. Staffing wise, how connected is he to all these guys? Is it a bunch of buddy hires, or is it real coaching? Now, Damian Craig, solid coach, really solid there. I don't who's going to be. Is he going to be the OC at Georgia State?
They haven't announced yet. He's going to be an offensive assistant, but they have not announced that yet. Chaney got the OC title.
Okay. Who's actually calling the plays?
I don't know that. Yeah.
Right? That's what we want to get down to. And for everybody listening, that's always the question. Ignore the titles, folks. Ignore the titles. You've got to know who's actually calling the plays. Because a lot of times, I mean, I've seen guys that have the offensive coordinator title, the tight end coach calling the plays. I've seen DCs have the title, the DB coach is calling the plays. You got to figure out who's calling the plays. That's really important there. So, but it looks like Georgia State is filling it with veteran leadership, and you have a guy in McGee that is, really good at recruiting the state. So, in spite of the big names, the only concern I would have in this new free agency environment, college football, is you get too many veterans on there. Are they going to get tired faster than a few young guys? So I think the mix is really important, whether it's Georgia State or anybody else at this level.
All right, wrapping up. This is about the most college football 2024 thing possible. Brent Venables. Bill O'Brien, same thing. I was watching an interview with Bill O'Brien. So, Coach, when will you start spring practice? Yeah, I'm not sure yet. Why? Well, I'm still hiring assistants. Brent Venables, March 4th, you're not supposed to be hiring an OC, but he got a good one, at least by rep, Kevin Johns. Give me a note you have. What do you think about Kevin Johns? I think it's a nice hire for him.
That's solid, but he's just an analyst. He ain't going to be calling the plays. That'll be Seth Luttrell. Yeah. Okay. Right. Yeah. Now, if it was me, right, this is my personal opinion, is I would rather be having Kevin Johns call the plays in the new SEC. See, with Seth Luttrell, he's got a really good grade as an offensive coordinator, but he don't like to run the football. Right. And I'm pretty sure Chuck Oliver is not going to go, yeah, I want to go into the SEC and not be able to run the football.
Yeah.
Right. Not such a great idea. So I love him as a backup option. He's a veteran experienced guy. He ran some really good numbers in the last couple of years at Duke. I was actually surprised that Oklahoma picked him up as an analyst.
I overspoke that. He was the OC at Duke. They picked him up as an offensive analyst. The thought is that he's going to be made on field just as soon as possible.
Yeah. Actually, Oklahoma, the last two hires, way under the radar. I mean, you want to talk about building a really, really good two deep. Venables gets Johns two deep at OC. Awesome, right? And the biggest one that nobody has talked about, and I can't believe this, right? It's because special teams is so undervalued as a position, as a field position coach. Oklahoma got Deacon from San Diego State. This guy is a top 10 graded special teams coordinator over the last 15 years. top 10. His numbers as a special teams coordinator at San Diego State for nearly a decade are unbelievably awesome, and Oklahoma gets him for a song and a dance. I mean, he is grades out better than almost everybody in college football. So I think what Venables has done in the last two hires for the value and the two deep in his staff, absolutely brilliant for him.
Day bar two. Thank you, friend. Do it again in 7 days.
Take it easy, man.
All right. He gave you the text line. You can listen to the podcast and replay it if you want to get his number. You text him. We've had everybody from head coaches in the SEC to fans, everybody in between. Just text him and he will get back to you. In almost every case, he really does try. So appreciate him coming on every single Tuesday. We break, hit an hour or two next.
The winningest team in baseball also has the most saves, and people who save the most money are winners. So start earning saves by investing in Worthy bonds for only $10 each. These bonds earn a fixed 7% APY, and there's no fees, penalties, or minimum balance required, and they can be redeemed whenever you like. You can even round up everyday purchases to buy additional bonds. Go to worthybonds.com/save. That's worthybonds.com/save, and save and win.
Spring is here and baseball is back.
You can't forget the Derby. I love the hats. Do you have yours yet?
My hat? I treated myself to a whole outfit.
If you want to be able to treat yourself, then you should check out the Nest Savings Account at LGE Community Credit Union, where they want you to reach your savings goals faster.
Take it from a pair of 680 The Fan wives. Head to lgeccu.org to find out what makes their team number one in Georgia.
The Fan is ready for Brave season. Are you? 3-1 smoked high in the air, deep center field, and heading for the horizon. A home run by Olsen.
We're streaming every game of the Braves 2024 season free on the 680 The Fan app.
So make sure you download it now and don't miss a pitch of the Braves this season.